So welcome everybody. On this very rainy day, but a lot of light in here. So I'm very happy that you're here. I'm happy that you made the effort, took the energy, spent your attention on getting here. So that is a I don't know what to call it, a self-affirming thing you did for yourself, a way to care for yourself, be kind to yourself, love yourself, be with yourself. It takes a lot, even if you live next door, to get here, all the energy that it takes, thinking about it, signing up for it, getting here. So I definitely want to acknowledge what it takes to get yourself here. There are quite a few people who will be with us this weekend who aren't here tonight, and or a couple of people, Judy told me about, just canceled because of being sick. So this is us for the time being, in any case. This is us. You know, as a way to begin and just sort of slide into the evening, I'd like you to turn to a partner, please. Turn to a partner. Everybody will have a partner. And instead of something deep and profound, I'd like you to tell your partner something very boring. Something really, really boring that you did today or yesterday. Could be, like, let me give you an example. I put on the wrong sock on my foot today. I was going to go for a walk and then didn't. That's two things. So I'm just really asking you for one thing, to come up with one thing. Another example would be, I was going to have scrambled eggs for breakfast and then I decided not to. So it's just that simple. Just tell your partner your name and something boring you did. All right, please go. All right. Okay, and here's what we're going to do next, now that you're filled with the boring things. What I'd like you to do, starting with you, Heidi. Heidi, I'd like you to introduce your partner. Tell us what her name is and what the boring thing is she did, please. And then, Jackie, you're going to do that with Heidi. Okay. Okay. Jackie.
Hello. This is my partner, Heidi, and she tried to put on her shoe today without her sock.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
This is Wendy, and today before she got on the plane, she did her dishes.
Good.
This is Marlena, And when she got at her hotel yesterday, the temperature wasn't right. And so she was able to open her balcony door to cool down.
Thank you. Okay, behind Kelly.
Yes. This is Michelle, and Michelle read an article for school on the airplane on the way out here.
Okay.
And this is Kelly, and before she came, she cleaned her oven.
Cleaned her cupboard?
Cleaned her oven.
Cleaned her oven. Wow. Okay.
This is Cindy, and she opened her underwear drawer and put on her short socks instead of her longer wool socks.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And this is Deb, and she bought a COVID test.
Bought a what?
A COVID test.
I see. Okay.
This is Cheryl, and because she's still in East Coast time, she woke up at 4 a.m. and did a bath, which I don't think it's boring to do a bath at 4 a.m., but...
Anyway, yeah, one sentence is good. One sentence. Thank
this,
you.
My partner is Amit.
Is what?
Amit. Did I say it right?
Amit.
A-M-I-T?
Amit.
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 Okay.
And
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
It means a friend in Hebrew.
Ah, Amit. Beautiful.
And she had oatmeal, and she cooked it in the microwave this morning.
Okay, thank you.
This is Kathy, and she wasted time on her phone today.
This is Suzanne, and she packed her black flats.
Good.
This is Lauren, and she thought she lost her charger, but she didn't.
Okay.
And this is Laura, and she put water in her water bottle. All
right. This is Angela, and she her husband drove her to the airport this morning.
This is Andrea, and she had yogurt for breakfast.
Okay.
This is Kate, and she went thrifting today, although I thought she said drifting, and I didn't know what that was. And she had to put the clothes back.
This is Mary, and she took a shower today.
And this is my partner, Lisa, and she cleaned up a bunch of spam emails today.
And this is Annie, and she ironed a bandana today.
This is Renee, and she was going to have a pancake for breakfast, but had scrambled eggs.
This is Mary Alta, and she drove yesterday 2 hours to the airport and felt nauseous once she got there.
This is Margaret, and she was going to have breakfast today at the airport, but then she didn't.
This is Amy, and she loaded her car in the rain.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have found all these things fascinating. Because just daily life, the things that we do every day, just that sometimes we're not really present for. But when we are, what's not to be enthralled about loading our cars or... you know, deciding to have scrambled eggs instead of a pancake, or opening up your underwear and sock drawer and seeing what you see. There isn't anything when you're actually present, when you're actually truly present that isn't glorious. And it might not be like the definition of excitement that you have about what is supposedly exciting, but when you're present, or when you're present, there's a backlitness to being alive. It's like a clear blue sky, and you don't see the sun, but you know the sun is shining. and in that clear blue. So in the work that we do here, we really do work with two separate and related levels or dimensions, I should call it. And, you know, I forgot, but thank you for reminding me, to urge you not to take notes. And the reason that I say that is because our minds love to know and love to think that knowing actually means something. But, for instance, knowing you have cancer doesn't change or alter or transform the cancer. Knowing where you live and writing down your address isn't the same thing, is totally different than being there and living that. And the mind thinks it's got something when it writes it down. But the only thing that really is transforming, that makes a difference, is the tangible and direct experience of it. And when you're taking notes, you miss that. You just plain old miss it because you're busy writing it down. And as we have all learned from the countless things we've read about the ineffectiveness of multitasking, that it's impossible to be truly present, which is where the transformation happens, and to take notes at the same time. So you get to choose. Of course, I'm not going to walk over to you and take the pens out of your hands, but I will tell you that if you came here to really learn and to have what we're speaking about land in you, for you, as you, it will not happen through note-taking. That is not how it will happen. I've told many of you before that I was a participant in multiple retreats, and for a while I took down notes constantly. And then I noticed I never went back and looked at any of those notes. So I didn't, because they weren't alive in that moment. There's an aliveness that can happen when you're here, when you let something ping right here in your heart. That won't happen when you're busy trying to get down what you think is important, because what you think is important might not actually be what lands here. So you might miss it when you're trying to get what you think is important down. So we work on, when we're here, the two levels or dimensions that we work with are that level of awareness and presence, being absolutely here, being like that blue sky, really being that clear and backlit, so that the awareness of the light and the sun is always there, the clarity, the freedom, the glee, the happiness. And then we work on what keeps us from feeling that. So we pay attention to that clarity, to that blue skyness, to that true nature of ours, who we are, when we're not triggered, when we're not caught in our minds. We pay attention to that, and then we also pay attention to what keeps us from that. And one of the main things that keeps us from that is the focus we have on food and eating, and also on the beliefs we have about ourselves, on our conclusions, on our self-identities, on who we take ourselves to be, which is based on our conditioning and based on our history, utterly based on our history. So I am getting over the flu. Actually, I've been over it for a couple of days. Matt and I have been sharing it. It's a lovely thing to share with one's spouse. He brought it in. I took it over. Seems like he's got it back from me now. We just seem to be passing it amongst ourselves, which is the reason I'm going to drink some ginger tea at the moment. So let's orient and ground and sense ourselves, and then we will do an opening visualization. So feel your feet on the floor, your butt in a chair. Let yourself really arrive. And before you close your eyes, really take a look around. Just take a look around. I know you've talked to your partner now, so just take a look at everybody else, at the room that we're in. The lights, the carpets, the gorgeous tulips. Beautiful. So just notice when you orient yourself, when you orient yourself, notice what arises. There's really nothing else going on right now. There's no place to go, and there's nothing to do. If you're thinking of 1,000 different things or even 5 different things, what you should be doing, what you could be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, what you wish you would have done, what you're going to do when you leave here, just notice that. And then allow yourself to come right back to this moment, because this is a pretty great moment. Because it's here. It's now. We're alive. I think that's the sound of the rain. There's a sound. Oh, darn. Well, anyway, the sound of the air conditioner. Really? I think imagination is everything. So notice what you notice when you sit right here. Notice if there's a sense of well-being, a feeling of well-being, or if there's a drag on your consciousness, if there's a feeling that something is wrong, if that's a thought. You know, every feeling is preceded by a thought. So oftentimes we start sensing something in our bellies or in our chest or in our legs. this sense, just a kind of heaviness or a grayness or a flatness or just something's wrong as a sensation, that's usually preceded by a thought that we didn't quite catch. I should have, could have, would have, if only I had, if only they had. Or the universal human paradigm. There's a way it should be. It's not that way. Someone is to blame. We usually walk around with that. There's a way it should be. It's not that way. Someone is to blame. And every time we feel that, even as we're sitting here, and here we are, and it's what a privilege and a luxury and a delight, really, to just be sitting here together, focusing on and paying attention to being alive, being present. What better thing is there to do in the whole world? Nothing. But that doesn't stop the mind from saying, there's a way it should be. It's not that way. Someone is to blame. There's a way it should be. It's not that way. And, you know, there's a way it should be could be, I don't like this room. I don't like the lights. It's too cold. Whatever. There's like 10,000 ways it should be. If your mind is oriented in that way, skewed in that direction, it's never going to be right. There will always be something that isn't the way it should be. And every time you feel that, or every time you think that and believe that, you suffer. You just plain old suffer. So notice if you're feeling that or thinking that now. There's a way it should be. There's a way she should be. She should be. There's a way this should be going. I thought there would be, and there isn't. So what you want to do is just start noticing the CNN scroll at the bottom of the screen, that constant litany of thoughts that are going on. And if you notice them, you're not them. Whatever you notice, you're not. You can't notice something and be it at the same time. So notice the noticer. And so you've oriented. Now you're grounding yourself by feeling your feet on the floor, your butt in the chair. Can you sense? So there's orienting, there's grounding, sensing. So then sense, what's going on? Do you feel hot, cold, warm? Shivery, shaky, smooth, spiky. You know, this morning, as I was puttering around the kitchen, not making scrambled eggs, I was sensing into that blue sky, feeling that openness, that clarity, that, you know, it's a cross between happiness, joy, exaltation, for no reason at all. There was no reason at all to feel it. Matt was out in a studio with Izzy. The kitchen was a mess. I didn't care. I hadn't even made the bed yet, which I always do first thing. Here's another boring thing about me. I make the bed first thing when I get out of bed. Matt, at that point, has been up for a couple hours. But I was aware, and I was aware of how that is a presence. So we call that presence. We call that awake awareness. That's there all the time when it's not occluded. The only time it's not there, which is actually never, it's always there, it's just that it's occluded by our beliefs. I'll say this again throughout the weekend because it's so miraculous. My mother, who turned 96 a couple weeks ago, was so unhappy her whole life. And now she is enlightened. She absolutely has become like, it's miraculous, really, because she stopped wanting what she didn't have. There's nothing she wants that she doesn't have. And let me say this clearly, it doesn't have to do with what she has. It has nothing to do with the materiality of her world. My mother wasn't even a princess. I would call her second only to the dead Queen Elizabeth in terms of what she felt like she deserved and didn't have. A lot. Now, there wasn't any house big enough. There wasn't any amount of clothes or jewelry or money or vacations that could satisfy her. Now she's in assisted living. She's living in a room the size of your pinky nail and sharing it with somebody she doesn't even like very much. She doesn't talk about her. She doesn't talk about this. The food apparently is terrible, and she thinks she has the best room in the whole place. She thinks she has the most gorgeous room in the entire place. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. 5 years ago, the last thing she ever wanted was to move into an assisted living. Now she's 100% happy because of how she's seeing. You know, there is a saying in Tibetan Buddhism, as viewed, so appears. As viewed, so appears, meaning the way you see something affects what you see. It becomes what you see. I will talk more about this in the next couple of days because this is a gigantic turnaround for most of us who think we're being done to by the world, that there's an external out there that's doing it to us. This is a total change. It's the way you see that that determines what you see. So, as a way of beginning our retreat, let's do a visualization. We're going to do our opening ritual, our opening visualization. And when we, I think at the end, we'll divide in groups of four. That's how we'll do it. We'll divide in groups of four. So it will be two groups of two. You can do that. So take some long deep breaths in and let them out. And let yourselves relax. And then just with your eyes closed, sense yourself as you are in this room, and put your index finger and middle finger in the center of your chest, your heart center, the cave of your heart, and breathe in through your nose. And out through your mouth. And then take another breath in through your nose. All the way in and pause at the top. And then one more deep breath. In through the nose and out through the mouth. Let yourself really relax and breathe into that heart center. And as you're ready, just take some deep breaths all the way through your system, through your nervous system, and let yourselves relax. And now put your awareness on your body. And notice any physical sensations you feel. Notice the pleasurable and unpleasurable. And notice one sensation that you might not want to feel. And bring that into the center of your attention and welcome that. Allow that. And as you're ready, shift your attention to the feeling level, to the emotional level. And welcome your feelings. It doesn't matter whether you know why they're there or not. Just allow what's there to be there. If there's anything unpleasurable, just allow that to be there without pushing it away. Notice one feeling that may be lingering at the periphery of your awareness. And take a few breaths to welcome that. Now shift your attention to the level of thought and notice the thoughts that are moving through you right now. Maybe there are judgments or fears or hopes or expectations. Take some time now, some breaths. To welcome any thoughts, particular thought that you might not want to welcome. Just allow it. And now feeling through your whole system. Turn in yourself to what is fading or leaving or dying in you. Each of us is at a transition point, whether it's overt or subtle, of something that's falling away and something that's being born. Turn now to that which is falling away. Whether you know what it is or not, it might be as real as someone dying, or a relationship ending, or a job that it's changing. It could be on the inner level of a way of being. Someone you've been that's being shed like a snake sheds its skin. What is it that's falling away right now? What is it that you're letting go of right now? And within your inner space, in the cave of your heart, honor that. Honor, like you would light a candle. Honor that which is falling away. And then I'd like you to turn towards what is being born, the birthing process itself. It could be an actual circumstance in your life. I can't hear you. Maybe still in the womb, maybe still in the struggle of the birth canal. Maybe you can just sense the air and light that's coming towards you. Turn towards that, towards what is being born, and open to that, and honor that again in the cave of your heart. And then turn towards that in you that goes beyond birth and death, that clear sky that was never born and will never die, that which has been present throughout the struggles and celebrations of your life and was there before and after every one of them, who you are without the story. And breathe in the presence of that. And light a candle to that. The inner cave of your heart. And then become aware of yourself as a human being sitting in the room filled with human beings. Become aware of the person on your right, on your left. Welcome however you feel as being part of this group, this particular group now. It could be a feeling of coming home. It could be a feeling of not belonging. But whatever it is, just take a moment to welcome and allow that. And expand your awareness from the person on your right and the left, to the whole room, and then become aware of the people in your own life whose lives you touch, whose lives will be touched by the work you do this weekend, and open your awareness to the people in everyone's life who will be touched by the love and by the work, the awareness. That those in this room will be paying attention to this week and using your imagination become aware of all the people whose lives they will touch and all the people whose lives they will touch. And expand your awareness to include the whole of California and the whole West Coast and then the Midwest and the East Coast and the Northern Hemisphere the southern hemisphere, and expand your awareness to include the whole planet with all its struggles and all its wonders. And then in our opening, we notice that our frequency, our work, our attention affects everybody we see and know and touch. And may this healing be a healing for the planet, and the peace we feel in ourselves be a peace for the planet. And then open your eyes, take some deep breaths in, and open your eyes. And then become that group of four form that group of four, and then each of you will speak, and one person speaks at a time. About what was being born, what was dying, your sense of what is never born or dies. And each of you has 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Please time yourself. Somebody needs a phone in order to time yourself. So each of you has 3 minutes. Please go. All right. So who would like to tell us what you saw, felt, know, discovered? Sure, Heidi.
There's a part of me that is pretty attached to being a people pleaser, and that feels like it's dying away. And what's coming in place in replacing that is like that true me, and it feels like it's like that Wonder Woman stance, kind of like, okay, this is me here, and this is the essence of me, the true me, and I don't have to put on an act anymore.
Lovely.
It's really nice.
Thank you. Somebody else?
My overriding feeling was, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. It's stupid. Which is my go-to whenever I feel uncomfortable, like I'm not doing something right. That's where I go.
So that's what you got from the visualization. I can't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable. I'm restless. I don't know what's coming down the pike. I don't know what to expect. And I'm uncomfortable with that. And stuff is already coming up. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, the thing about comfort is that it's overrated. That it is being uncomfortable that actually is where the growth is. because if you would just stay with what's comfortable, you'd never change.
I know.
Bummer. Bummer. Yeah, so you're just in the right place and feeling exactly the right feelings.
Oh, yay.
Good. Okay. Somebody else? Lauren. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
What I saw leaving was this feeling of checking in with everybody when I want to do something, or like someone's opinion when I want to make a choice of something in my life. And what I felt was being, I was letting that go. And then what was coming to me, what came to me, was that I can trust myself to know what's best for me and make those choices.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lauren. Somebody else? What do you know after doing that visualization that you didn't know before you did it? Kate?
That I can sort of see, in a sense, the box that I felt like I was putting myself in, or my upbringing was putting myself in, having followed in my brother's footsteps, that I completely rebel against and don't believe in, and the belief that I'm too much, no one knows how to love me, is because I was in the wrong box the whole time. Like, I'm like a triangle. Like, I'm not a box.
Right. You're not the box. You're no. Who's seeing the box.
What'd you say?
You're who's seeing the box.
Yeah.
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 Good. Thank you, Kate. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Somebody else? Yeah. Suzette?
So I started it and was a little distracted, and I meditate all the time at home, and I couldn't figure out why I was distracted, and then I realized my stomach was hurting. Then I started thinking about what would happen tonight if my stomach kept hurting, and then I started getting into this loop about trying to listen but trying to worry. And then you started talking about the lights, and I thought, no, first you started talking about embracing the feeling. So I said, okay, I'm worrying, I'm anxious. Let's go with that and just see where I go. And it didn't go anywhere. And I was worried about nothing. And then you started talking about the lights. And I thought, I worry so much about my health that I don't light those lights because I'm so busy in my mind worrying about me. And the world is losing out.
Yes. Beautiful.
So.
Thank you. Annie.
I have a friend who perceives me the way she perceives me, and I'm letting go of trying to change that, trying to fix that, trying to somehow make it different than what it is.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have leave you. Takes a while to realize that someone else's opinion of you, or actually opinion of anything at all, not just of you, but of anything, is utterly 100% about the glasses through which they're looking. even closer than glasses, I would say the contact lenses that they're looking through, and has nothing whatsoever to do with you. Nothing. It's kind of amazing to realize that, to really get that. It's liberating. Because then there is no way of changing what anybody else thinks about you, because it's not about you. It's about them. Only and forever about them. You know, a friend, somebody I love a lot, this was a while back, it might have even been Thanksgiving, we had Thanksgiving together at a friend's house, a big group, and she wrote me afterwards, and she said, the way you were didn't work for me, and I need to talk to you about it. And I wrote her back, and I said, I love you, and your reaction has nothing to do with me. And I don't want to work this out with you, because it doesn't have to do with me. And once you start getting into it with somebody else, and we've talked about this, those of you who have been here with me before, we've talked about this before. If I get into it with her, then what I'm working with is her conclusions about herself that something I did triggered. So let's just say I'm not enough, or I'm bad, or I don't matter. And if you try to fix it out there, you're just working the problem on the level of the problem. We're not working with the level of cause, which is her conclusion about herself that she then gets projected onto me. And I could be nice to her for the rest of my life until we both die, and it would never touch the conclusion. I'm not enough. Something's wrong with me. You can't fix it out there. There's no way to fix it out there. There's no way to fix in here, out there. Now, I haven't seen her since Thanksgiving. She might still be mad at me. I don't know. But it's a tough pickle. Because we're so used to saying, I want to work it out with you. But all you're really working out, when you're working it out with somebody, is you're meshing conclusions. And you're trying to have them fix the conclusion you have about yourself. And I've told you this 100 times. I've written about this maybe even 100,000 times. How Matt loving me never touched the place in me that felt unlovable. Was it lovely? Is it lovely still after 38 or 9 years, 39 years now, to be loved? Yeah. I love being with somebody who loves me. I love walking into a room when Matt's there. I love seeing him. Has it made the unlovable in me feel lovable? No. No. That's why this whole thing about I need to meet the love of my life, I'm not complete until I... It's lovely to have a companion. It's lovely to have somebody to do things with. It's lovely. And it doesn't fix the unfixable. Only I do that. Only I can do that. And it's a little bit of a bummer. Nothing out there ever does it. Yeah. No, I use that word, but it's fixable from the inside, but not because of something Matt does. He can't fix it. Nobody can fix it. By questioning what I believe is true about myself, like something fundamental is unlovable. Unlove is in my DNA, or I'm wrong, I'm bad, and I can't show anybody. They can't see it. I'm really mean, and I have to pretend to be nice. Because if they really saw me, they wouldn't love me. That's the problem with that eating guideline, eat with the intention of being in full view of other people. That there's, if they saw me, they wouldn't love me. Therefore, I must hide and sneak. Okay, everybody. So let's spend a minute now. We're going to end. Time for bed. I know some of you have come long distances. Do you have that song that I sent you? We can play a lullaby. It's not Sam Baker. It's Carly Simon. Thank you, Kathy. Carly Simon and her two kids. You could put a little louder. Good. Thank you. I don't won't be long before another day, and we're going to have us a good time. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a sweet night. Thank you.